From theunts.com, this is the Unts Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunts.com. Hello and welcome to the Unts Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. Trance has been huge for years in Europe, but here in the States, it's been steadily growing in popularity thanks to the tireless efforts of a few dedicated artists. One such DJ is Tom Colantonio. One of the biggest trance acts in the Philly and Jersey area, Colantonio has developed a signature sound through his work with Armada, Discover, and other big labels. And he's gotten support from major players like Sean Tias and Paul Van Dyke. He's got a new podcast out now, Electronic Pressure, and he'll soon be releasing Say You Will, a prog house track co-produced with Dave Rowan. This past week, he put out an exclusive mix for theunts.com, available at theunts.com/freshbeats, beats with a Z. Let's get to the interview. Your music possesses such intricacy and complexity, elements that I imagine are a direct result of you being a highly skilled musician. Let's start at the beginning. Were you surrounded by music and musical instruments as a kid?
Yes. When I was, in an odd way, I was. When I was 11 years old, a good friend of mine named Jim Gorman, he actually tours with Avril Lavigne right now. He's a mega talented musician. And I'm actually doing a track with him coming up soon. But, I met him one day. He said, "Oh, you know," he said, "I play piano." And I said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "I don't play an instrument." He said, "Well, you should get a guitar." So I went and I got a guitar. And I remember it was like a cheap chord guitar my parents bought me. And I started playing guitar, when I was 11 and a half years old. And I just played and played. I studied classical composition with some teachers. And I also studied jazz fusion guitar and neoclassical, which is along the likes of like Yngwie Malmsteen, those guys.
Sure.
Going through the history of it, 14 years old, 15 years old, I was doing studio musician work at local studios and stuff like that. And, I was in bands, various bands with some guys, and we recorded some demos and stuff like that. That all passed, passing all the way through up until 1995, 96. When I started, when I basically walked into a nightclub and saw a guy DJing, I was like, "Wow, it looks like a lot of fun. I wonder if I could do that."
So you're a studio guitarist, and just one foray into the club scene, and that clicks for you. I mean, had there been any sort of overlap in what you were doing, maybe in the studio with production, or was this just like, you're sort of tired with the organic instrument world and wanted to jump to this sort of brand new form of expression?
The thing was, I definitely feel as though my guitar skills and having an ear for music overlaps into dance music production, electronic dance music. The two can be intertwined. For instance, I have played guitar on some of my songs. The track "The One" is me playing guitar and singing. The track "Omega Thursday" is me playing guitar. There's a lot of guitar hidden within my songs that, you don't hear. I've done studio work on EDM tracks for people. John O'Callaghan, Big Sky, Audrey Gallagher, the one on his last album, I did the guitars on that, the acoustics. So it does overlap. It wasn't that I, when I discovered dance music, per se, I was always listening to rock and roll and metal. I was in a metal band and a rock band, and when I discovered dance music, it wasn't like I just said, "I'll see you later, guitar," but it definitely took a precedence in my life over the other style of music I was doing. It just was sort of a natural progression for me, although I DJed for many years before I even started producing music for dance music. So figure, I started DJing in 96, and I didn't even buy production equipment until 2004.
And between, Jersey and Philly and that entire area, the trance or even electronic music scene doesn't have the same cachet as New York or L.A. or Miami. Tell me a bit about the scene when you first got involved, that sort of introduction for you?
When I got into the scene, it was, basically what had happened was I stole my brother's ID. He was in the Marine Corps. So I took his renewal once his DMV and got a fake ID. And I went to a place on Delaware Avenue in Philadelphia called Egypt Nightclub. And I'd been in nightclubs before, but never really of something of that magnitude at the time. And just see, there was the scene back then on Delaware Avenue in Philadelphia in Spring Garden was amazing. I mean, it was, every club was packed with, you know, thousands of people. I mean, you were waiting in line on a Wednesday night to get in there. So it was definitely, the scene back then was much bigger than it is now. Things are, you know, if moving forward, I was out Friday night at a club called Rumor in Philly, which was packed, really mm-hmm. great crowd there. Things that are coming back full circle, I feel like. They did fall off for a long time in Philadelphia, but they are coming back stronger than ever now, which is also a direct result, I feel, of, you know, dance music becoming so big in America again, you know?
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. And that sort of leads me into my next question, which is, why trance? Obviously, it's a huge part of many people's lives, but not as much in the States as in Europe, South America, and Asia. What was the appeal for you? Because at the time, I imagine it wasn't widely popular.
Yes. When I started DJing, around 96, I was playing house music. I was playing strictly house music. I mean, you're talking about stuff like, you know, Danny Tenaglia, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't into trance at all. But what happened was I started hearing, you know, when I was shopping for records, I would pick up other records, stuff on like A State of Trance and stuff like that. I started listening to it more and more, and it kind of touched me more than house music did. It just made me, like, you know, it seemed more of what I should be doing because maybe of my guitar and you know, the classical music and stuff like that. It seemed to strike me better. At the time, I just figured I would just make trance music and that would be it. You know, it'd be easy. I wasn't really aware of, you know, I wasn't really too much aware of how it is a more European sound at the time. I mean, I was so caught up in house music, which was a very American sound, you know, and it was, it just seemed like a natural thing for me to do. So was it an uphill battle? Yes, it absolutely was. It was difficult to make a mark with trance being an American, but with persistence and a lot of hard work, I mean, you know, I've managed to do it.
This is Tom Colantonio's remix of John O'Callaghan's Raw Deal.
So tell me about your relationship with John O'Callaghan. It seems like he was a real influence early on.
Yes, absolutely. John, I was sending John music. When I first started producing, I was sending him music, and he was always kind enough to, you know, reply to me and say, hey, sounds cool, you know, keep working at it, blah, blah, blah. The same thing was my relationship with Sean Tyus. They're both, you know, two close friends of mine.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was I had made a track. I think it was called Enlighten, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I had sent John, and it caught his attention. He really liked it, wrote me back, which in turn, jumping forward a little bit, kind of put me in the face of John Askew, who owned Discover Records. And at the time on Discover was John O'Callaghan, Greg Downey, Brian Carney, Sean Tyus, Activa, John Askew, a couple guys. And ultimately, that song led to my signing to Discover Records, which led to the attention, ultimately, of Paul Van Dyke. Which, you know,
that's huge.
Yeah, which led to me signing to Vandy. I remember when I was, somebody had sent me an email and said, you know, oh, dude, your fucking song's on, you know, on Paul Van Dyke's radio show. And I was like, back at the time, that's when MySpace was big. So I had just randomly sent a song to Paul Van Dyke, and he had played it. And, he ended up, charting a remix of mine a month later in DJ Mag. Of a track I did, a remix I did of Time Bomb. So, you know, again, all those guys, you know, have been a tremendous, help in my career. They're all good people. And, John, I definitely, like John's music. He makes some of the best trance, in my opinion, in the world. So he's a mega talented producer, and he's definitely been an influence in my music. I mean, you know, I've learned so much from him and his style. You know, he doesn't do just one genre. He cross genres, which is nice. He has the joint operations, the JOC, and he just makes really banging stuff. So, you know, it seemed like the guy, you know, to really look out for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's talk about your actual production, because, you know, you're coming from an instrumental background. I'd like to get nerdy with you, if at all possible. We've got a lot of production geeks in the audience. So let's pull back the curtain a bit. I'd like to know what you're working with, hardware, software, because it's interesting for someone like you who was working, very technical precision instruments, and then sort of moving into production, it seems like, as you said, just a natural flow.
When I first bought my equipment, which was, I believe it was March of 2004, I basically went to the Guitar Center with a credit card and was like, yeah, I want to, make trance music. And I ended up meeting a guy there. Thank God I did. He steered me toward Logic Pro. So I use Apple Logic Pro. I'm on Pro 9 now. I have a Mac. I have a full-blown Mac. It's a 3 gigahertz dual core with 16 gigabytes of RAM in it. It's a powerful machine. I use, I use Mackie speakers, the HR-824 MK2s. I had the MK1s, just switched them out last year, the 2s. They have better mid-range and low-end, in my opinion. They're really nice, though. You know, I have an M-Audio Axiom 61. I actually just switched that out for an Oxygen. I had a 61K. I put it down to 49. Everything I'm using is soft synth now. I had a multitude of analog synths. I had a JP-8000, Supernova 2, Novation. I had a Waldorf Q. I had pretty much every synth there was. I used to, I was kind of like an analog freak back in the day, looking for synths on eBay and I would buy them. And the last piece I had that would have been considered, analog would have been my Virus TI on my Axis, but I just sold that like about 3 weeks ago on eBay. So. Mm-hmm. I no longer use anything analog. For my mastering, I do have my rig is basically this. Basically what happens for my mastering is I run out of Logic Pro, and then I run into a SSL compressor, which is made by Solid State Logic.
Uh-huh.
Really awesome compressor. I actually picked it up on a video Marcus Schissat did in one of his studio walkthroughs. So,
okay.
I ordered one of those from the UK. I got it. And then back out of that is SPDIF cable, digital, into a finalizer, which then goes back into my system. So for mastering, I have a somewhat analog feel to give, to give my sounds a little bit of a richer sound. And obviously you can use it as a bus compressor if you want to bus bass line, stuff like that. So everything is digital except for the SSL G-Series and the finalizer, TC Electronics, which is, just there to put the sound back into my computer digitally.
Sure.
But everything I'm using, I use all the standard synths, the Vanguard, the Nexus. You know, I use Discovery. I use a lot of, I just actually bought the UAD2 plugins, which are absolutely amazing. I bought those a couple of weeks ago. They're, you know, they run on a PCI card in your system, but they're really incredible plugins, and you can really get rich analog sound out of them, which is nice. So, but everything's been Logic Pro 9. I actually have used Ableton Live as well. I just got into using it a couple months back, and I did a remix. My remix of Raw Deal from John O'Callaghan was done in Ableton Live, completely Ableton Live. I find Ableton to be a great program with scratch pad ideas. Like if I'm on my laptop or traveling on an airplane or something like that, or you know, when I'm away, I use Ableton scratch pad. But for mix down, for mixing, I just find Logic easier for me to use. I find it to be more precise and like a warmer feeling.
I wonder because, you know, you obviously, you know your shit now, but what was that time period? You know, you start DJing 95, 96, but not until 2004 do you actually get in there into the studio. What sort of pushed you over the edge and made it so that, you know, I can't just spin anymore. I have to create.
Well, this is actually a funny story too. People always laugh about this, but I was thinking a lot about my career, and in Philly at the time, it was always like, you know, go play a gig. Here's a couple $100. I mean, these promoters, they were always trying to like, you know, here's $100. Here's $150. Here's $200. You know, if you got $400, you were living the dream back then, you know, back in the day. So it was like, it was difficult to make money DJing alone, obviously being a local DJ. And I didn't want that for myself. I didn't want to be just a local DJ. I just didn't want to do that. So I started thinking more about production and looking at what I could do with it. I knew that I could do it. I just had to figure out how to do it. So I think the day was, I always laugh about the story, but I was sitting home watching TV and I was watching Discovery Channel about giant penguins, you know, the humongous penguins. They're a couple feet tall and they walk around like maniacs all day. I remember I was watching that show and I was sitting on the couch and I said to myself, you know, this got to be more to life than this. You know, I got to like stop wasting my time. If I have time to watch Giant Penguin, then I have time to make music, you know? So it's funny, people always laugh about the Giant Penguin story, but it was at that moment, I literally got off the couch and was like, you know, I got to go do this. I got to figure out how I'm going to do this. I made a couple phone calls to friends. A lot of them were like Pro Tools, and I just didn't feel Pro Tools would work for me because of all the MIDI sequencing I knew I was going to have to do. I had a general understanding of MIDI and stuff like that. So, you know, that's really how it happened. I made the decision of, the problem with DJing is simple. You can be a DJ and you can be an amazing DJ, but how is a guy in Moscow, Russia going to know that who you are if you're just a DJ? You know, I mean, you can send mixes out and that, you know, that might work to an extent, but I feel as though a promoter is not going to base you just solely on your DJ skill. They're going to base you on your production and, you know, if people like it. And that's what draws attention then to your DJ.
Avicii's Levels from Tom Colantonio's exclusive mix for The Unts. You can find that at theunts.com/freshbeats and at soundcloud.com/theunts.
Let's look at this this exclusive mix that you just dropped at theunts.com this week. You included a lot of, you know, big house and trance icons. I think of Avicii and Gareth Emery. But there was also a great deal of bass and that new electro house influence on there as well. Tell me, where do you think the sound is heading? Because obviously you're a student of the scene as a whole and you know, probably have your ideas of your own of where things are headed.
Trance has changed. It definitely has. I mean, in the many years I've been listening to it and doing it, and obviously there's people who've been listening to it way longer than I have, so I won't call myself an aficionado of trance. But the thing is, trance has changed. I mean, music evolves constantly. It always does. And sounds evolve. When I first started making trance, it was 140 all the way. And then I started slowing things down and doing stuff like tracks like Elysium on Liquid and Reflection on Subculture. These are all tracks that are 133 BPM. Mm-hmm. So things slow down, they evolve. What's happening is because of the popularity of David Guetta, okay, I know people are always talking about David Guetta and, you know, David Guetta, blah, 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 David Guetta. The thing is that Guetta has really, he's changed things a lot in America, and for the positive, in my opinion. I mean, I personally think Guetta is, he's the fucking man. I know people will flag me for saying that, because when he won the DJ Mag, I saw the way people reacted, and it was really poor, I felt like, the way they were acting like, they were booing him and stuff.
Well, I mean, 5 years ago, did you ever imagine you'd see the producer of the track in a video? Or, you know, that's just mind-boggling. Obviously, he's changed the game.
He definitely has changed the game. And the thing is this, what a lot of people don't realize, I think, is that it's different. It's a little bit different in America in the sense of, I mean, I've traveled all over the world, and, you know, I remember sitting in an airport in Scotland once and hearing, you know, Ian Vandal and Alex DJ Better Off Alone. And it's like the dance music has always been bigger there than it has been here. Whereas we've been hip hop and 50 Cent and everything for so long. And you know, it starts to change again. They say things cycle every 10 years. Back in 2000, 1999, 2000, dance music was big in America too, not nearly as big as it is now. But having a guy like Guetta come forward, and yes, he has crossed genres. He's taken pop artists and R&B artists and moved them into house music per se. But the thing is, the thing that is so important about that people don't realize, I think, is that that needs to be done to get people to get the youth attention drawn to dance music as a whole. Maybe people might not like Guetta's sound per se, but or not even Guetta. You know, it can be applied for a lot of guys in America. You know, that are doing house music and doing it on a bigger scale. But the thing is, the youth is where it's at, because you're not going to find a 40-year-old dude, you know, ripping a chick to trance in a nightclub anymore. I mean, there's always going to be that guy. There's always going to be that guy who's going to do it in a club. But the thing is, you know, the youth is what keeps things going. And, you know, same thing with a guy like Skrillex, you know. I mean, Skrillex was on MTV. He won some award. I mean, I'm a big fan of his music. Its complexity amazes me. I mean, the guy is so talented. It's incredible. I know people, you know, take shots at the guy, but in my opinion, again, he's another guy that, you know, he's doing stuff obviously dubstep's been around for 20 years, you know, if not longer. But the thing is, he's taken something to it and it's brought it to the youth. And a guy like Skrillex, I went and saw him play in Atlantic City. He doesn't just play dubstep, you know, he plays some house, he mixes things around, electro. And that in itself has drawn such attention to the genre. You know, you have a kid that likes Skrillex, Scary Monsters. He's like, oh my God, Skrillex is the fucking man. And then he goes and he hears him play and he's like, holy shit, what's that track? And it's a Porter Robinson track, you know? Uh-huh, and it's like, all of a sudden, he's like, wow, what is this electro house sound? You know, like, I've had people in my studio doing engineering jobs for them for music and stuff. And I play them Porter Robinson, Say My Name. And they're just like, oh my God, what is this song? What is this? I'm like, it's electro house, man. It's just like complextro, they call it. Like, I have, you know, two friends, Andrew and Jeremiah, they're producers that are upcoming. I think they're going to be fucking huge. These guys are so talented. And they make electro, complexo, they call it. It's complex electro. But just that sound, it's catchy, you know, and if it's catchy, people are going to like it. So, you know, full circling back, I do think that, you know, although a lot of people will disagree with me, they, you know, they hate on Guetta because, oh, he's too mainstream. And I understand, you know, if you're not into mainstream, you're not. Who cares? Go fucking go listen to something else, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I myself have been a victim of that. Believe me, like I see people say things about my, you know, my electronic pressure radio show now. It's a lot slower. It's 129 BPM. Oh, it's too slow. It's this, it's that, you know. And look, I understand people, they're going to expect you to do the same thing forever, but you can't, because if you don't evolve, then, you know, to put it bluntly, you're fucked. You're going to become a dinosaur.
And in that sort of vein, tell me about your podcast Omega, because there, that's your platform to get the stuff out to people who might be, you know, sheltered in their various genres and niches, but you sort of blow the walls out on that and play everything.
Yes. Now, I mean, Omega was, you know, Omega's been around for years. I started almost 3 years ago. And, you know, Omega was trance. It was strictly trance, but it was, you know, a lot of genre trance were in it. It was, you know, a lot of times it was, you know, I would have the BPMs, you know, when I'm mixing in on my CDJs, I would just have that sucker at 140, and I would be mixing, you know, 140 trance all the time. It was, you know, it was a great show for me. You know, I enjoyed much doing it. I had a lot of listeners that tuned into it, but, you know, again, it's my sound is changing, and it, you know, I enjoy, you know, what I'm doing as much as I enjoy doing anything else. So, you know, it's Omega's now going to be, you know, archived, and that's going to be the end of it. I mean, Electronic Pressure is the new show, and that's where it's that's what I'm focusing all my attention to.
Well, that's fantastic. We're looking forward to it, Tom Colantonio. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Thanks so much for being on the Uns podcast.
Thank you very much. I do appreciate it.
That's going to do it for this week's episode. Special thanks go to Rob Murphy and my guest, Tom Colantonio. Check out his new podcast, Electronic Pressure, and keep a lookout for his new Prog House track with Dave Roman, Say You Will. Next week on the program, we'll wrap up 2011 with Joe Ray of UK dubstep superstar duo Nero. You don't want to miss it. Thanks so much to everyone who came out to our second anniversary celebration. We have limited edition grassroots snapbacks for the Unts available on our website. On our contest page, we're giving you a chance to win tickets to see Laidback Luke, Grammatic and Break Science, and Mimosa. Please visit theunts.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review. Tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the Unts podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at anand@theunts.com. That's A-N-A-N-D at theunts.com. Join the conversation at the Unts podcast on Twitter. We'll catch you next week.